Western Cape Adjustment Appropriation Bill 7/2023. Let me welcome all of you at this meeting. And thank you for your presence, all the members, all the officials. I don't see Dr. McDonald as yet, but I see some of his senior staff with us.
I am present, Chair, sorry.
There you are. Thank you very much, Dr. McDonald. Minister Fernandez experienced comms problems. I had a chat with her over the phone.
I am online at this point in time. So I am here. I can hear you loud and clear. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that. So your comms problems is out of the way. I appreciate that. Nomonde, Secretariat, did we receive any apologies?
No apologies, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And let me use the opportunity to ask the members to introduce themselves. I'm Dan Plato, and all the other members to do exactly the same, please.
Good afternoon, Chair. Good afternoon, members. Good afternoon, officials. My name is Christopher Fry, and I'm a member of this committee.
Thank you very much. Am I audible?
Yes, you are audible, member.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I'm Gladys Bakubaku Force, the member of the Standing Committee. I'm greeting everyone in the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Gillian Bosman, a member of the committee.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Member Aisha Kasim. Thank you.
Thank you so much. May I ask all the other senior and other officials to do exactly the same, just for the record, please? Officials, please.
Good afternoon, Chairperson and members. Juan Smith, CFO for the department.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, all. Denver Holly, Director of Finance for the department.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair and all. Marion Johnson, Business Planning and Strategy.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. We are Nelson, Chief Director, Social Welfare and Restorative Services.
Thank you so much.
Good afternoon, everybody. Charles Jordan, Chief Director, Children, Families and Vulnerable Groups.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Apologies, Chair. Good afternoon, Chair and everybody. It's Ramila Patel, Director, Operational Management Support.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair, colleagues and members. I'm Ananda Nau. I'm the Head of Office for Minister Fernandez. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Introductions are done. I appreciate it. Point five for me is we can change the program around a bit or whatever we want to do, but I think it is very appropriate for this committee to, at this point in time, to ask the minister and immediately after the minister, the HOD, just for a brief overview. Not anything, not more than 5 minutes. If it could be 3 minutes and so on, I would appreciate it. But, or you might utilize your full spectrum of 5 minutes. Minister Fernandez, please.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Good afternoon to all honorable members, the committee staff, as well as the technical staff, and everyone on the platform, especially all the officials from Team DST, who have availed themselves for this very important deliberations. Chairperson, it would be remiss of me not to mention the Finance Minister's presentation earlier in the week, which paints a rather bleak picture, not only for the province or for the department, but for all departments. We, though, thankfully have been spared or buffered. The provincial treasury have assisted us to some degree in terms of being able to still render services. However, all departments have been affected, and even though we may not be affected as severely in this year, it's in the outer years that we will experience challenges. So I would just want to say that my biggest concern at this stage is the fact that funding to all our stakeholder partners, whether it's child protection agencies, shelters, whatever it might be, will be affected. However, the management team, the team that is on this platform, and those who are not present today, have really taken hard, they've looked at every aspect of our business and have had to make some really tough decisions, which, you know, when you have to pause a project or an initiative, or you actually need to place something on hold, something else needs to have or be a greater priority. And so it is about prioritizing and ranking. However, our biggest challenge is that with an ever-shrinking budget and the fiscal constraints that we face not only as a province but as a country, we are going to have to find innovative ways of engaging private sector, civil society, to ensure that we can still provide services to the most vulnerable. Dr. McDonald obviously will lead the charge together with the finance team. So we want to thank you for the opportunity to present Vote 7. And as always, we welcome the robust engagement, the transparent deliberations, and we will try our best to provide responses to what is probably going to be some difficult questions around why we have made the decisions that have need to be taken. However, the decisions were not made in isolation. They were made transversely in terms of the clusters that we work in. So when we take decisions, we consider health, education, agriculture, sports, arts and culture, safety, and of course, all the other, we've got growth, we've got jobs, we've got safety, and we have dignity and well-being. And it would be remiss of me in this period of 16 days of activism for no violence against women and children to say that our shelters are also coming under increasing pressure, but we will continue to strive and provide the best that we can with the limited resources that is available to us at this stage. So, Honourable Chairperson, thank you for the opportunity. And without further ado, through you, I would like to hand over to our HOD, Dr. Robert McDonald, who will take us through the process as earmarked in the agenda. Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, members. We appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, Minister. Dr. McDonald, please.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and a good afternoon to you and all of the honourable members, as well as the MEC and the departmental staff. I think we will go into the detail when we go through the actual budget document, but I think just to say from my side that I'd like to really express my appreciation to my colleagues and to the Treasury team for trying their best to mitigate the worst impacts of the cuts that came in here. It is a very unusual situation to be sitting with such significant budget cuts during the course of the financial year. And it's quite a risky exercise because it puts contractual obligations at risk. So Treasury has really assisted us with using some of their reserves to bolster the equitable share cut that we sat with. And of course, the equitable share cut is also compounded with the additional that we have to carry of the wage increase nationally, which was unfunded. So there's both a equitable share cut and a need to reprioritize funds internally to cover the cost of the wage agreement. And that double effect has necessitated quite a lot of work in terms of shifting money around. Treasury allowed us to un-earmark a number of earmarked allocations so that we have more flexibility in terms of moving funds between programs and between economic classifications so that we can try to cover the shortfalls that we are sitting with. And I think the finance team, together with the officials, have done an excellent job in maneuvering around that to try and make sure that we can fill all the gaps that are coming. So I think that the main thing is that there's about 106 million that was cut from the equitable share slice of the department's budget, which was then filled with another 106 million, essentially cancelled out by provincial treasury from their reserves. And then also there's some smaller shifts there as well, including a shift between the Department of Infrastructure and Social Development, a move of some just over 16 million rand to social development. The funds are now going to be used instead of for infrastructure work that was planned on a shelter for homeless adults. The funds are now going to be used to fund expansion of NGO-run shelters across a bigger spread. We feel that that's a more sustainable way to use the funds at this juncture, given that we have uncertainty in the out years about how much money we're going to have. So I think it was an important decision that we had to take, given that we had objections to the shelter proposed in District 6. We didn't want to risk tying up the money there, especially if we found ourselves delayed with the infrastructure work, because that causes escalations of costs. And it means potentially the money in the meantime might be pulled away by other priorities. So the funds are now going to be used for homeless shelter expansion, which will have the same impact in terms of increased bed space, which is what we wanted in the end. And then also there's an additional 20 million that we've shifted to child protection organizations to help them sustain the mandatory child protection services that they're rendering, because they've faced tremendous pressure this year. There's been a huge increase in the number of children entering the child protection system during the course of this financial year, and it's really putting an enormous strain on the NGOs as well as our own staff. So I think going forward, this is the beginning of a very rough road for us. So we do want to flag that the cuts in this adjustment were able to be cushioned by Treasury, but for the coming financial year, it doesn't look like they'll be able to continue cushioning it. So there's going to be much more severe impacts as we go into the new financial year and the years after that. But I'm sure we'll get into more of the detail then when we speak to the document. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much for that, HOD, Minister, to you as well. Look, I note the budget cuts is overall in all departments. The issue is we need to fulfill the same functions with less. It's not a good picture, a good financial picture, not so good news. But my fear is always with any budget cuts is the impact on service delivery. One needs to bear that in mind and take cognizance to that fact. Couple of millions of rands, the question is where do you cut? But I am not going to ask all the necessary serious questions. The members will do that. My job is merely to lead the meeting into a direction. But we note what the minister said. We note what the HOD said. The deliberation on vote 7, the adjustment appropriation budget, you will find it on from page 143 to 155. And let me do the necessary with regard to the budget. Let's go through it page by page. The members have the opportunity now to ask the minister, to ask the HOD, even to any official, the necessary questions. Later on, I will ask the public to do the same if there's public with us online. But let's get into the budget process immediately. 143 members, 145, and there's one hand already. Honorable Bartle Forth, you may speak.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Am I audible?
Yes, you are very much audible.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, my question is on page 143.
Good.
Okay. Firstly, I would like to welcome the increase in the budget, which is due to roll over funds and shift from Department of Infrastructure for bed space in shelters. On Tuesday, the Provincial Treasurer tabled the mid-term budget policy statement before the Budget Committee, and it listed GBV, child protection, and psychosocial support and as part of the budget policy priorities. It is concerning that the department budget does not support this statement by the provincial government. There is no significant contribution Chairperson made towards program addressing GBV and femicide, despite the clear need for such allocation. Can the department take us through this budget and how it addresses the above-mentioned policy priorities? That's my first question, Chairperson. And the second question is on 147, Chairperson, on 4.2 in the crime prevention and support. We have a crisis of violent crimes in the province, and youth are most at risk of being victims or perpetrators. Yet funds earmarked to crime prevention are used things like buying computers. Can the department explain what these funds were originally earmarked for and why they are now used to buy computers and paying for leave, gratuity, for staff exits and retirements? And how much in total is this budget now allocating to buy computers, and how many computers will be bought? And the last question, Chairperson, is on 148, on point 4.4. I want to know what were these funds originally earmarked for, and why are they now used to buy computers? Can we get an explanation? Because in the eyes of the public, this means while we have a crisis of substance use disorder in the province, funds earmarked to respond to the crisis are now being used to buy computers. It worries me very much, Chairperson. This is the last one, Chair, on page 148, on 5.3. Chairperson, through you, I want to ask the department, given the high poverty and rising cost of living that is affecting the poor people in our province, it is commendable that the department is making provision for food parcels, but it also an insult to the poor that only 4,000 is allocated for food parcels when hundreds of thousands have been shifted for things like TV license and computer equipment. Can the department really respond to the above question that I already mentioned? Let me pause there at the moment, Chairperson.
Honourable Baku Force, thank you very much for your questions. I don't see any other hands. Let me ask between the Minister and the HOD, you might refer even a question to one of your other personal members. But Minister, if you want to respond, HOD, if you want to respond, please.
Before you respond, Chairperson, I just forgot to ask if maybe can the department explain its thinking behind this decision? How much in total in this budget making towards poverty alleviation? Thank you, Chairperson.
The HOD notes that. Thank you. Minister, you may proceed.
Chair, the HOD and the team will provide the answers, except to say that when we had to consider prioritization, we are actually at the point now where the work that we are mandated to do, statutory work, that has to be a priority. And as tough as it sounds, anything else that is not statutory is had to be considered. So if we don't fulfill our statutory obligations, we will face litigation. We will then need to give effect to the litigation, and that will be a double whammy in terms of cost. So that was the premise on which the department, the chief directors, and everybody considered. And as I said in my opening remarks, there had to be trade-offs in certain areas, but I hear the honorable member talking about computers, but we must also bear in mind that in order for staff to fulfill their functions, there are certain tools of trade that is required, especially if we are hiring and bringing in additional social workers. They need to be equipped with tools of trade. But I will hand over to Dr. McDonald and to our CFO, who will take us through the rationale for the decisions that have been made. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Minister. Dr. McDonald.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think Minister Fernandez has partly covered it. I think but I'll go through each question individually. So the Honourable Member asked about the budget not showing a specific increase for GBV, even though it's a priority. I think just to say that the DBV was already prioritized in our budget at the beginning of this year, and there are still additional things that we are going to be doing with that additional budget. So we didn't need to add any further money on top of what we had already got, because we are still busy rolling out the expansions and extra work that we had planned to do, including a new Teachers Early Care Center site that we are aiming to work with Health and the NPA on establishing in Stellenbosch. So the expansion is continuing. It didn't require any additional money because we did already have additional money from the beginning of the year. So that's why you wouldn't see a shift there. It doesn't mean to say then it's not prioritized. It's just that it remains a priority and it stays as is. I think the question about the funds that are shifting from some of the programs to buy computers. The computers are in the department. A lot of them are reaching expiry, and we are compelled to get new computers because they're starting to fail. Our social workers need computers. It's critical tools of the trade for them to do their work. They've got to be able to access the computers to access the electronic child protection register, the foster care management system, and all of those things, as well as the probation management systems and so forth. So computers are critical to our service delivery as a department, and where we have aging machines, we need to replace them. We already passed the date with many of them. We have a five-year refresh period normally for computers, but many of them are well beyond that, and then they start having problems and they don't work anymore, and then we are sitting with staff who don't have computers, which renders them ineffective. So I think computers are critically important, but also we decided to try and buy some computers this year where we can, because then it will some of the computers we plan to buy in the new year will buy this year, and then it relieves some of the pressure on next year, given things are looking so bad for next year at the moment. So the idea is also to buy some a little bit earlier so that we can free up some money for service delivery next year, because otherwise we would have to buy those computers in the new year, and then we would have had less money for other things next year. So it's a bit of a trade-off to try and help us with some of the pressure that we'd really get a lot worse in the new financial year. Also bearing in mind some of the funds have also been used for leave gratuities and so on. Again, that's part of the bigger package of where staff, we have to cover the expanded wage agreement, which we have no choice about implementing. Leave gratuities, of course, is where people leave the department and we have to pay out their leave balance, and that's at a higher level now because of the wage increase. Also, we've had a lot of people leaving. There's quite a high rate of exit from the department at the moment, so that's putting pressure on leave gratuities. So that's where some of the funds are going as well. Again, that's obligatory. We can't not do that. I think in terms of the question around the food parcels and the additional funds allocated, I think we allocated what we could there. I think we have continued to flag the need for funds in this area into the new year. with Treasury, and we're hopeful that they'll be able to assist us to continue with that. But as with all areas, food relief is something that we have limited scope to expand at the moment, because as the Minister mentioned, we've really got to make sure we keep our mandatory services running that we are obliged in law to render, particularly child protection, the child and youth care centres and probation services, and those areas which we are forced to provide. So these are the difficult things we have to do. We would have liked to put more funds into food relief given the situation in the province, but we just don't have the ability to do that. I think the TV license, that's a mandatory thing. We can't really get away from that, unfortunately. That's just something by law we have to pay. So it's not, it's not something we've kind of chosen. It's just exists as a requirement. I don't know whether the CFO and Mr. Holly want to add anything to that.
CFO?
Yep. Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, Dr. McDonald has now adequately answered the additional funds that we require also for the computers. We've put about $1 million aside for that. But I also just want to indicate that if we look at the smaller amounts on those pages that the member referred to, some of those were also the allocation of these computer funds to the correct programs and sub-programs, because we also buy in bulk. So we previously bought in bulk, and then we just had to also reallocate the funding to the correct programs and the correct budget holders. So that is accounting for the smaller amounts there as well in terms of that. And then just in terms of the food, the 4,000, that was also a correction because previously we used to procure, we used to get the food parcels through transfers, which is not allowed, and we are now using goods and services, and therefore we just had to correct the classification in terms of that in itself. And then the question on the budget towards poverty, we can indicate that in this year already we've allocated 53.8 million, which includes an addition of 28 million towards food relief and nutrition. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Bakkefos, I take it that is an old hand of yours, or do you have a follow-up question?
No, Chairperson, I just wanted to go to page 150. I've got only two questions on that, Chairperson.
You may go.
But the response from the department at the moment, I will say I do understand, but I won't change the mindset that of our people. We are expecting so lot from the department. Yeah, I think they must, as I said before, they must lobby the government to give them more money, more special when it comes to GPV and the food alleviation sector. Thank you, Chair. May I proceed?
No. Note that, you may proceed.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I want to know if what is the total budget for the intervention plan and what will this 723,000 help to achieve? That question is on programming in the third child care and protection, page 150. And the second one is on still page 150. In the programming, the children and their families, I want to know how big is the need for homeless shelter in the CPD and how was this decision to fund additional bed space and shelters instead of developing a homeless shelter arrived at which shelter has been identified of additional bed space and how were they identified? I would like to understand the criteria they use to identify those shelters. Thank you very much, Chairperson. That will be the last question I have at the moment.
You never know, Honourable Member. As we go along, there might be another question jumping out of
the book. Yes, I'm seeing at the moment. Yeah.
Okay, got that. Honourable Minister, between you and the HOD, the HOD might refer to one of his senior officials. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I don't know if the Minister wants to come in, but I'll proceed in the meantime. So the question about the 723,000 for child protection, I'll ask the CFO and team to speak to that. But I'll speak to the second question in terms of the need for shelter space in the CBD. There currently is a need for a massive expansion of shelter space. We don't know the exact numbers because there have been some surveys that estimate vastly different numbers from one survey to the next of people who are homeless in Cape Town. But we know that it's going to be well in excess of 1,000 people that will be in immediate need. We know the City of Cape Town is expanding their safe space creating a new safe space in the CBD with about 300 bed spaces. The Provincial Department of Social Development was aiming to create around 120 additional spaces with the infrastructure works that were planned in the former Tafelberg creche. However, the objections received from the community and other stakeholders indicated that they would not be supported there. We anticipated that opposition would potentially delay the project, and therefore, on the balance of considerations, we didn't want to push against that tide, and rather felt that the funds would be best utilized by giving them to NGOs that can use or do smaller expansions in a more decentralized way. That has less impact on the immediate communities because it's not such a large increase. But at the same time, it also they have more flexibility in terms of adjusting their bed spaces to the need. So we decided that would be the better option, and it would still enable us to create in excess of 120 additional bed spaces. The criteria used to identify shelters for this purpose is basically we've asked shelters that we fund in the CBD area to indicate whether they have space to expand and whether they are interested in doing so. And based on that, we have identified some. We are still in talks with the organisation, so we'd be happy to update the committee once we have finalised that, but there are several shelters and a couple also outside of the CBD that we are in the process of assessing, and we will, once we've finalised agreements, we will then contract with them to expand their space and then fund the operations at those sites. So really the criteria was mostly about which ones actually had space to expand, because many of them didn't. But I think that, you know, in expansions of around 20 or 30 bed spaces are what we're aiming for at a number of shelters, and then to continue funding those. It's still not going to fully meet the need, but it will alleviate some of the pressure between the City of Cape Town and the Provincial Department. We hope that that will alleviate at least some of the pressure currently on the CBD area in terms of people not having any form of shelter, particularly ahead of the winter. I think also to say that the decision was taken after a public participation process on the proposed shelter in the District 6 space, where we did receive objections and feedback from stakeholders. I think then I'll ask the CFO just to speak to the question of the 723,000 for child protection and what the shift is for in that instance.
Thank you, HOD. Thank you, and through you, Chairperson. The 723,000, first of all, it is over-collection of revenue in the previous year that Treasury allowed us to retain, and therefore we could then also utilize it in this adjustment budget. However, during this year already, Mr. Jordan and his team already utilized that funding, and now that the funding is available, we now shifted it and redirected it onto this intervention plan, and this is part of providing care and emergency packs for children. I think Mr. Jordan can most probably elaborate more if need be. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for that input. Highly appreciated. I think I'm not sure if I've seen Member Cousin's hand raised for a moment as well. Member Cousin, is it true? You want to say something?
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes. I think that the previous member asked most of my questions, but let me ask this for now. If I can just ask the Minister, how many non-profit organizations does the department assist with regards to subsidies under the segment of child and families? And where are these NPOs predominantly based in the province? And the second question for now on the category of services for persons living with disabilities. Can I ask, does all provincial government department buildings cater facilities that accommodate persons living with disabilities? Also, which forms of disabilities can the minister say that the provincial government department currently has a challenge to cater facilities for, and what are they doing about it? Or what is the plan forward with regards to that? Thank you.
Thank you, Member. Minister and HOD.
Chairperson, if I may, to the first, thank you to the Honourable Member for the question. The first question, I think, would be a detailed list, which we would not be able to provide. Well, I'm certainly not able to provide that off the cuff, but we could provide a list of the NPOs and NGOs. And then I think regarding government buildings, I'm going to hand that to Dr. MacDonald. And there are always challenges, but we have, I think about the disability vehicles. I think Chief Director Jordan can speak to that. But HOD, I'm going to hand the second question to you. And then if we could arrange for the committee to get the list of NGOs. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister. Dr. MacDonald, if any.
Thank you, Chair. We certainly can provide a list of all the NGOs that we fund in the children and family space. Mr. Jordan might tell you off the top of his head the estimated number, but we'll provide a list to be precise. I think then also to say on the Western Cape Government the provincial government's buildings, whether they are all disability friendly. I think some are and some aren't. We have previously worked with Public Works to address accessibility issues and compliance with disability access in most of the large and main buildings of the provincial government, as well as social developments, local offices and so on, but there's still some buildings that have work to be done. So I think it's a work in progress. Certainly also reasonable accommodation for staff with disabilities is something that I think the provincial government is on top of. By and large, there hasn't been any issues with that over the years. There's been quite extensive work done in that respect. But I think the issue comes in particularly in some of the areas in the province where we have difficulty securing good buildings and good offices. And those buildings are sometimes not fully disability friendly, and we've been doing things like installing ramps and putting in place other measures to make sure that they start to become more compliant. And our Disability Program Office has an ongoing project together with Public Works in that respect. Also bear in mind quite a few of our buildings are rented, and so some of those things can also be a bit difficult in terms of working on buildings that are not actually owned by the provincial government. So it is a mixture. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much for that answer, Minister, and Dr. McBond. Appreciate it. Let me do justice to the report of the world so I don't see any follow-up hands. I'm on page 144.
Okay.
Yes.
Chair, I had my hand up.
Oh, yes. Okay. Mr. Jordan, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Honourable Chair, and then also to the member on the question of children and families. So, yes, we fund 115 designated child protection organizations across the whole of the Western Cape province. So that would be organizations that work exclusively with statutory work as well, just as DSD. And if I talk about statutory work, it would be child removals, it will be placing children in foster care. I'm talking about adoptions, placing children in alternative care in general. So that's the 115. With the families program, we've got 160 NGOs that we fund. So part of that is the 37 homeless shelters. And then the balance of that is organizations such as FAMSA, family counseling organizations, organizations that support families, providing parenting programs, programs for boys and for men, regarding parenting skills, also for teenage girls, that's pregnant, providing them also parenting skills training and so forth. So that's the 160. I think that's what I wanted to add, Jay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jordan. Let's move. 144, 145, 146, 147, 148, page 149, page 151, I don't see any hand as yet, page 152, page 153, page 154, the last page is 155 members. No one with any follow-up question and that sort of thing, so I take it that you are saturated with your questions and happy with the report in front of you. Let me look at the annexes also, get the annexes out of the way and being dealt with. Page 156, page 157, page 158, page 159, page 160, page 161. Still no member that want to say something. Secretariat Nomonde, I still don't see any members of the public representing themselves or any organization with us. What are you picking up?
No members of the public, Chair.
Thank you. Let me then ask the Honourable Member and the Honourable HOD immediately after the Minister. Let me rephrase the Honourable Minister and the HOD right after the Minister to make their closing remarks, please.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and members. As you probably are well aware, the pressure is on and it's on every single aspect of our business. We not only face service delivery pressures, but also the fact that we have to work with a whole lot less than we anticipated. Because never before in the history of this country have we had in-year cuts. And as I said, this year Provincial Treasury has certainly assisted us. We made a compelling case, I would like to believe. However, in the outer years, it will only get worse, not unless some miracle happens to prevent South Africa from tipping off what is a fiscal cliff. Because all the red flags are up, and unfortunately, as a department, we too feel the pressure, because with resignations, the remaining staff have to deal with a lot more than they would normally, so their caseloads increase, and one also has to take care and ensure that your carers, I mean, who takes care of the carers, because it's about their mental health, it is about their well-being, and even to the team of individuals who have worked on this budget, it has not been easy. They have had deliberations into the night, and they've had to do trade-offs. And we still try to maintain a level of service, but with the increasing pressure, it is becoming, it would be remiss of me to pretend that we are not experiencing challenges on every front. So I do want to say thank you to the honorable members for the questions that have been posed. We remain vigilant and on the alert and try and find the opportunities where we can. However, it is going to require a whole of society approach and community involvement to assist us in becoming first responders in certain instances and to assist the team, because the team is shrinking as people resign, people retire. And then also, of course, we've got this budget or the COE, which is unheard of, a decision made at the national level. And now at a provincial level, we need to give effect to. And as you know, the result is a 1.1 billion shortfall overall for government, but it impacts us because the 78% that was allocated only went to health and education, and social development was not factored into that equation. And that has a severe impact on our ability going forward. I just want to say that as a department, we welcome the inputs, the concerns that are raised, and we are mindful of the challenges. However, if we work together, I do believe we can bring the difference and the change that we would want to see. So thank you to you, Chairperson, to the committee, and the honourable members for their inputs, and I will hand over to Dr. McDonald at this stage. Thank you very much.
Dr. McDonald, please.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I don't really have anything to add on to what the Minister said, other than just to say that once again, thank you very much to all the team involved in the work, and also thank you to the Minister for her support and guidance through this process. It has been very difficult for everyone, as the Minister has observed. And also to say that we just want to sensitize the committee once again that, you know, we're facing quite a nasty situation in the new financial year, judging by the current projections. We don't have final figures yet for the next year, but we are trying to anticipate as best we can where we're going to be with this. And we are extremely concerned about the impacts, especially on the NGO sector, given that we may not be able to fund all of the organizations that we currently are funding. We know that that's going to have a... very severe effect on the sectors that that will be affected by cuts. So I think we just have to emphasize our concern about that particular issue going forward. But I think that the adjustment budget, we would definitely acknowledge Treasury's concerted efforts to mitigate the worst of the risks for at least this financial year. So thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Minister and HOD. Just a couple of remarks from my side, very brief. We all will agree that the expectations out in the communities is very, very high. Looking at what we and the department are doing and the expectations out there, some in the communities is of the opinion we are doing all nothing or not enough, because people want more to be done, and still a lot more needs to be done to eradicate, especially the social ills we experience. I think Minister and HCTV alluded to that very important aspect, the issue with regard to social ills overall. I'm not going to name them. There's an awful lot you have the picture in your mind, and but I need to say, in particularly poverty, our poverty levels in South Africa is particularly high, but equally in the Western Cape and in Cape Town. But let me use the opportunity to applaud the department, to applaud the minister, to applaud the HOD, and all the officials, and in particular the officials in the field, the officials on the ground, the officials that is doing the running around on a day-to-day basis to see to the children, to see to the elderly, to see to those in need. I think I want to make special reference to that, and sometimes we overlook that portion of officials for their unthankful and ungrateful function they have to fulfill, and the demands put on them by seniors as well as by communities. We need to recognize that. Sometimes under difficult circumstances, sometimes with police protection, security protection, they need to enter a house or a community and that sort of thing. And many a times that category of officials is of the opinion we don't see what they are doing, but we receive the messages. The public phone us, give us beautiful messages, officials so and so and so, and that is the reason why I make special reference to that category. But overall, saying to you guys, officials, thank you. Thanks for the leadership. Thanks for your promptness and your diligence in which you fulfill your functions. We also note that very clearly. Minister Fernandez, it was a great pleasure working with you and with the HOD. I think this is the last meeting for the year, and we will see each other sometime during January. But my last comment I want to make is all of you, all officials, doesn't matter who you are, you must enjoy your festive season. And at this point in time, while I thank the minister and staff and so on, let me excuse the minister, the HOD and the officials. I give you a minute to vacate your system so that we as members can continue with the work that you still working for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and goodbye.
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Are there any resolutions, any recommendations from the Adjustment Appropriation Budget members? Are there any comments in that regard from your side? Okay, none. I don't see any hand. The adoption and consideration of the committee report on vote 7, social development in the schedule to the Western Cape Adjustment Appropriation Bill, B7/2023. Let me read the committee report. Report of the Standing Committee on Social Development on Vote 7, Social Development in the Schedule to the Western Cape Adjustment Appropriation Bill B7/2023, dated 30 November 2023, as follows. The Standing Committee on Social Development, having deliberated on the subject of Vote 7, Social Development, the Schedule to the Western Cape Adjustment Appropriation Bill B7/2023, referred to it in accordance with Standing Rule 188, reports that it supports the bill. Can I get an indication from the committee members, from the honourable members, if you support or does not support the vote? Can I get that indication, Bosman, please?
Chairperson, I propose that we support the vote.
We don't necessarily need a seconder for that, but Christopher Fry, you are the seconder, I suppose.
Yes, you're right, Chair. I second that that we support the vote.
Thank you so much, Honourable Bakufos. I note your hand.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, the ANC wishes to note the increase in this adjustment budget for Vote 7, but it fails to make allocation towards provincial policy priorities. It is on that basis that, Chairperson, I would like to register the minority view of the ANC not to support the budget in line with the Rule 90. Must be noted. Thank you, Chairperson. In that note, we don't support the bill. I mean the budget. Thank
you. Noted very much, Honourable Bakubaku-Vos. Let me read then after I note that minority vote. Report of the Standing Committee on Social Development on Vote 7, Social Development in the Schedule to the Western Cape Adjustments Appropriation Bill. B7 2023, dated 30 November 2023, as follows. The Standing Committee on Social Development, having deliberated on the subject of Vote 7, Social Development in the Schedule to the Western Cape Adjustment Appropriation Bill B7 2023, referred to it in accordance with Standing Rule 188, reports that it supports the vote. In terms of Standing Rule 90, the African National Congress expressed its minority view to not support the vote. Secretariat, I see, before I go to Nomonde, I see Member Christopher Fry, please.
Thank you, Chair. I move that we adopt the report as tabled.
Thank you. May I ask, that is what I wanted to ask the Secretary. Do we need a seconder for that? Nomonde, do we need a seconder for that?
In terms of our rules, Chair, there is no need for that, but members can second.
Okay.
Chairperson, I second that the committee supports the report.
Thank you so much. Gillian Bosman is the seconder. Then I note vote against from the EFF, Honourable Member Kasim. Thank you. On that, so it is then a minority view, Secretariat, the committee supports the vote with the minority view of the ANC and Economic Freedom Fighters. You have it. Thank you so much.
Sorry, sir, the EFF also does not support the vote? Oh, okay.
Yes. I think you must add the EFF.
Okay, Chair. Thank you.
Chair, can I just check? Can we add after the report has already been adopted?
I'm not sure if you can add. Is it with regard to the report? You want to add something?
No, I'm just I'm hearing you now saying that we need to add that the EFF is also expressing a minority view, but we've already adopted the report. So Nomonde must just guide us whether we can amend the report, because it's already been adopted.
Yeah. Nomonde?
And where is Member Kasim? I did not even hear her saying that she does not support Chair.
Sorry, Chair, my hand was up for a while and I was not recognized by the time you made that remark on the adoption.
Yeah, I need to confirm that. Sorry for that, Member Kasim, but her hand was up. So I've got no problem with adding the minority vote of Member Kasim to the report as well.
Okay, noted, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. So the report is then adopted. The meeting then is then adjourned. Thank you, Honourable Members, for your presence. Thank you, Nomonde, for your presence, all the other staff that was part of this meeting and to make of this meeting a major success. Highly appreciate it. Enjoy your day. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Goodbye to everyone.
Goodbye.